First of all, I want to say good morning, Boker Tov and Varach to everyone. I'm speaking to you from my office in the Gris Kollel, the Gris Center, the Gris Campus, whatever name you know it by. I would stress the branch of Yeshiva University, B'tochechei Yerushalayim. I'm also one of the fortunate ones. My granddaughter was one of the winners in the raffle to go to the Kotel over Shavuot. If you know what I'm talking about, then so Baruch Hashem, I'll have a blood representative at the Kotel. I chose a topic for this talk. It's a topic that I spoke about in great detail in my Sunday class recently, my halacha class, and I'm going to give it a spin in honor of Bernard Rebel Graduate School with new material I didn't mention in class. And I just want to mention my latest issue of the Commentator. I learned, I knew that Rabbi Dr. David Berger was stepping down, and now Dr. Daniel Reinhold has been appointed as the dean, and I just want to express my best wishes to both of them, Laricha Jemim Tovim, and great success as a graduate of Bernard Revel as well. This all goes back to a medrash that one time the Rav regaled us, telling us about the only time he heard his father of Moshe dash in a medrash. And he went over to his father, everyone, and he said, Rav Moshe, v'kumta sarich, how does that happen that the Ish Halacha, the son of Rav Chaim, and is suddenly involved in a medrash? This medrash is also darshan by the Ketzot HaChoshen. You can find it in the Hakdamah to the Ketzot HaChoshen. And many Rabbanim, myself included, over the years have taken it and kaninu al yedei shinui with our own spins. But let me give the basic medrash and the basic understanding. I'm quoting from Bereshit Rabba, Perek Chet, Siman Hei. Amar Rabbi Simon, B'shar Sheba, Kadosh Baruch Hu Levriya, Livrot Et Adam HaRishon, Asu Malachei HaShareit, Kitim, Kitim, V'chaburot, Chaburot, Mehemarim, Al Yibarem, Hemarim, Yibarei. And here we know God's about to create man, and the angels got involved in controversy, machloket. Some said create him, some said don't create him. Those who said create him, man is capable of great deeds of chesed. You'll see the midrash. But the angels said, who is man? He's capable of lies. At times he's so distasteful, his actions, his inability to think properly. Don't create him. You'll wind up creating him. We'll have a Western world with Western theology, all that I spoke about in my opening shayir when we were able to open again following the corona epidemic, pandemic, I should call it, here. And, well, God suddenly, this is the Medrash, takes the Midat HaEmet and he throws it to the floor. I'm quoting a pasuk in Daniel. The Medrash continues, "Vatashlach emet atza." He got so disgusted with these angels who were saying, man is false, man is not honest, man at times goes so far astray, threw it to the ground. The angels couldn't believe it. They say that, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Emet represents God, Hashem Elokeichem, emet, and you're throwing it to the ground. And the Ribbono Shalom says, Emet me eretz titzmach, that I'm creating man. Truth has to come from the ground, from the earth, from man, from this lowly, puny individual who at times can go so far astray, but I'm decided to create man, and I have to create him within the reality of human existence. Now, this concept has very far-reaching halachic, hashgafic, philosophic implications. Because you come to a very simple question, what is truth? Where is there truth? Can a human being answer what is the ultimate truth. He faces so many questions, has to make so many decisions. Is he right? Is he wrong? And here we have a basic principle, open Mishnah, open Gemara, that truth is not what the Ribbono Shel Olam may derive as the ultimate, final, complete, absolute truth. Halachic truth is what the human court, the human beings, the Chachamim, I just heard part of Rabbi Penner's talk, what he was speaking about, the black, the white, that which unites, the ability to bring together. It's what the human being, what our Beit Din Shomata decides. Emet me eretz titzmach, the Tzaita Choshen says it. It's the human. We can't look up. Well, this sounds quite shocking at first glance. It's an open Mishnah. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Perek Bet, the last two Mishnayot, very famous Mishnayot, Mishnah Chet, Mishnah Tet, the story about the new moon, that the witnesses saw the new moon, the next night the moon was not seen, were the witnesses truthful? Rabbi Gamliel accepted them, and Rabbi Yehoshua, who was the greatest mathematical, astronomical genius of the period, felt it is impossible. And this was for Chodesh Tishrei. There would be a major difference when Yom Kippur is. It's either one day earlier, one day later, according to when the new moon took place. And Rabbi Yehoshua was very upset. He was set to observe his Yom Kippur one day later than Rabbi Gamliel the Nasi, the head of the Torah community. And Rabbi Gamliel ordered him to appear before him with his, I'll put it into modern terminology, with the key to his car and his wallet with money in it at the day that he thought was Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yehoshua didn't know what to do, and Rabbi Akiva told him, Yesh limod shekoma shesa Rabbi Gamliel asui shenema eile moadei Hashem mikrei todesh ashe tekru otam bein bizmanim bein shelo bizmanim ein li moadot elu elu. Whether you're right or wrong, the Beit Din declared, this is Rosh Chodesh, this is Yom Kippur. And go on, you'll see the Mishnah. It's very powerful. If we're going to question Rabbi Gamliel, we will wind up questioning every Beit Din, and we will interrupt, chas v'chalila, abrogate, negate, abolish our tradition, the Torah of Sheba'al Peh. It will be the end of the continuity of Torah. And you know, Rabbi Yehoshua went on the day that he felt was Yom Kippur, and he appeared before Rabbi Gamliel with his wallet and his car keys. Amad Rabbi Gamliel nishakal al rosho, amalo, bo bishalom, Rabbi v'talmidi, Rabbi b'chachma v'talmidi shekibalta et devarai. And I need not tell you, it's a very, very powerful Mishnah. But we have an open Gemara that's even sharper, I would say. Everyone knows the Sugya, Tanua di Achnai, the Gemara in Bab Metzia, Dafnin Tet Amid Aleph. And it was a question of a stove, how to make it pure. And Rabbi Eliezer felt that you could make the Epshalat Taher, you'll see the Gemara, and the Chachamim voted against him, that this stove, once it becomes impure, it's like earthenware, you cannot purify it again. And Rabbi Eliezer was so upset, and he said, well, let the torrential flood come through the Beis Medrash. 1 minute later, torrential flood that shows I'm right. Let the walls fall, shows I'm right. And the Chachamim refused to listen, and finally, a bat kol rang out that Rav Eliezer is right. And the Chachamim said, lo b'shamayim hi. And that's a very basic principle. Torah is given to humans. It's given to frail individuals like us. Kids who go to the yeshiva, what we were like in high school, college, where our minds were, our efforts, our thinking. And yet, we have to grow up, learn, study, put the white and black parchment together, and we have to go on to create a new generation and take the torch that we received and pass it on to the next generation. Emet me'eretz titzmach. It's from the ground. It's not angels. Humans. If God didn't want to give the Torah, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be Jews. But he gave us the Torah. But he recognized the limitations. We are only mortals. B'nei temuta, basar v'dam. With all that that implies. When I was a kid in college, so it was about 1955-56, a little volume came out, Igrot Chazon Ish, the letters, collected letters of the Chazon Ish. And I remember how excited I was, a little volume, but I memorized every letter in that volume. One letter I consider the most important, may very well be the most important letter that Chazon Ish has written. Actually, today a very brilliant doctorate was done on the Chazon Ish at Hebrew University by Bobby Brown and Benjamin Brown. And it was co-published by Magnus Press of Hebrew U and Kadoza Law School of Yeshiva University. It's over 900 pages, a brilliant, brilliant doctorate. And he discusses this letter as well. And the letter, the Chazon Ish does not say to whom he wrote the letter. But I was an inquisitive kid. I still am, for better or for worse. And I heard rumors already in the 50s that he wrote this letter to a Talmud of his by the name of, it was Tzvi Yehuda. Who was this Talmud? He and his brother. Little did I dream in the 50s I would get to know both of them and teach their daughters. But who were these Talmidim? They were Talmidim who studied with Chazon Ish. I need not tell you that Chazon Ish revolutionized the study of Torah in the state of Israel. And he had Talmidim who loved him, adored him. And some of these Talmidim were top quality. And like any good Rebbe, the Chazon Ish loved his Talmidim. It's a symbiotic relationship. You can't be a Rebbe without Talmidim, and you can't be a Talmud without a Rebbe. The Gemara in Tainit, Mi Talmidai, Yotem Mikulam, Tav Zayin. And these Talmidim, I'll use the modern term they use in Israel, broadened. What does it mean, broadened? They went to Hebrew University, studied with the professors there. We who grew up in Yeshiva University, now I'm always Makir Taiva, that I never had a conflict. I could go to university, go to yeshiva. I could take the best out of both worlds, have wonderful rebbeim, wonderful professors. There was no conflict. The Rav was a beautiful example. There was no tension. But you can imagine these young people go on to Hebrew U, and then they started publishing. They became PhDs. They got smicha. They talmid chachamim, scientific scholars. A combination between what we would say Reitz and Bernard Revel Graduate School. And the Chazon Ish was a little upset with one of their publications. And if I can recreate, again, I think I'm correct because you'll see I uncovered in my files a tremendous correspondence with Professor Tzvi Yehuda in 1977 when I was teaching his daughter, Rachel. And what happened was that the Munich manuscripts, you see, you're always finding new Kitvei Yad. And the question is very simple. When we go in to learn a Daf Gemara, should we spend endless time creating the proper text there? This manuscript, that manuscript, variant readings, those of you familiar with the Divdekei Sofrim, Reb Natan Netam Rabinovich. Oh, so it's almost endless on every line in the Gemara. These were copied by hand. And you can all understand that there were variant readings. You see it in Rashi, you see it in the Rambam, you see it in the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam. And how much time do we devote to that? And it seems the Chazon Ish was upset with these students that they were overstating the importance of the Munich manuscript. And if I can paraphrase the Chazon Ish, he says, we're only human beings. So you found a manuscript, Kitvei Yad Minchen, and the Chi Kol Chachmei Hador Bizman HaRishonim Ad Achshav Kulam Lo Amdu Al HaEmet Mipnei SheSofer Echad Ta'a VeHosif Dabarim BeGemara MiLibo VeHichshil Et Kol HaChachamim. And the Chazon Ish says, what are you, going to upset the whole tradition because you found one manuscript? All right, true, maybe a mistake was made, but all this has been studied and worked and reworked and analyzed, and this is the tradition that we have today. And the Chazon Ish says very insightfully, all right, you found a Munich manuscript. Does that mean you found all the manuscripts? In other words, acharei rabin lahatot, we have a klal when they're variant readings, let's say on a text in the Chumash. So you have to sit down and see what the majority readings are, and that's the way we write a Torah. And similarly with the Gemara, you found the manuscript. Do we have all manuscripts? We have the Cairo Geniza. And by the way, the Cairo Geniza, I had the privilege of seeing what exists at Cambridge. I had a chaver, let me mention him, Professor Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Groner, Zichrona Levracha, my very close friend. So he worked for a few years there in Cambridge. I was privileged to visit him, and he took us into the vault. And you can't believe what you see. But on the other hand, who knows how many other Geniza there were, how many other manuscripts. And this all comes back to that basic understanding that Torah was given to human beings. We have to work within a human context. We cannot go up to heaven. Lo bashamayim hi. We have to realize our limitations, and we have to accept the reality of Torah and tradition within the emet tetzmach me'aretz, within the human situation and reality. And this particular letter from the Chazon Ish and the implication, I consider very, very important. And many years later, when I was old enough to understand and appreciate this, so I contacted Professor, at that time, Tzvi Yehudi, he was living in Cleveland, and I had entree to him because his daughter was evidently satisfied with my class. And he answered me in a long, long letter. I'm holding a Xerox copy in front of me. And later, this letter became the basis of an article he published in Tradition. But he elaborated on what happened with the Chazon Ish. And he tells the story how he was the Chazon Ish, Talmid, who since lavished on me his love and care and took me under the wings of his influence and guidance. And then he goes to Hebrew U, and he studies under Professor Binyamin Menashe it should be Levin. It's written Lewin, but in Hebrew it's his name is Rabbi Nirman Ben Asher Levin. I trust you know who I'm referring to. Make believe you do. If you don't, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Rabbi Nirman Ben Asher Levin was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Kohen Cook. I had the skill of teaching his children, his grandson-in-law. Ah, what a family. And Professor Levin, when Hebrew U opened, they just celebrated the many years, the groundlaying ceremony, etc. And it opened in the mid-20s. And Rabbi Binyam Menashe Levin, a few years later, wanted to go to Hebrew U. So he asked Rav Kook, and Rav Kook told him, learn something that will benefit the Torah people. So he was one of the early people, maybe one of the earliest doctorates. I think Professor Margolius was earlier than him. He worked Otsa Hagonim. He came up, he worked all the way through the middle of Nezikin. When he died in the middle, he had not finished, and it's never really been properly finished ever since, although they even was a doctorate done at Bernard Revel and Masechet Gittin, I believe, where they brought Masechet Sanhedrin. They brought more material on in the sense of Otz HaGaonim. It's Gaonic literature put together in the order of Shas. And Binyamin Menashe Levin complained bitterly to his Talmud at Hebrew U, Tzvi Yehuda. And he told them, why don't the yeshivas study my books? Why don't they appreciate? Here, I'm quoting what Professor Yehuda claims is Professor Levin speaking. Here, I painstakingly assembled invaluable sources of the Gaonim, the greatest authorities after the Talmud, most of the material from the Geniza. These are new sources printed by me for the first time. And Tzvi Yehuda went to the Chazon Ish and asked him, why? Lama lom makshivim et hasfarim shel Binyamin Menashe Levin. Chazon Ish explained his position, as I will soon summarize, added a laconic verdict on the Otz HaGaonim, quote, the old material we have, the new we don't need. And Professor Yehuda explained in the Chazon Ish's name, the sources already printed are found in the words of the Rishonim. We know we've acted on them. They've been integrated. Suddenly you're going to find new material. The new material cannot abrogate tradition, even if it's new, and perhaps earlier Gedolei Yisrael did not see it, but who knows if this is all. If you're finding this new material, there's more new material, and ultimately we have to accept the tradition and not abrogate it in accordance with every discovery is made. Today we can discover tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam, and 5 years later, we'll discover ancient tefillin like Rashi. That actually happened, if you're familiar with Matsada and the Dead Sea, that whole area, they found tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam, and everyone got excited on Yigal Yadin, and a few years later, they found tefillin carbon tested, just as older like Rashi, or you can conclude that machloket goes back way, way before Rabbeinu Tam in Rashi. And this was what the Chazon Ish wrote, and its implications go on and on. I'll give you a very small fallout. I had the schut living in Israel. I need not tell you I'm here 51 years, Kanayin Hara, 10 years teaching Torah alat matnecha, and 51 years teaching Torah alat mat hakodesh. So you rub shoulders in Israel. I'm a little kid from the Bronx, but you rub shoulders with great, great people. One of the people who I had the schut of robbing oxygen from him, sitting in the same teacher's room many times, was Professor, well, we'll call him Rabbi Mordechai Breuer, to differentiate between his first cousin, Professor Mordechai Breuer. Professor Mordechai Breuer was the great historian. His doctorate was on the Hirschian community in Germany. It is fascinating reading. Compare it to what would be a doctorate on the YU community 100 years later. Very fascinating. But I was very friendly with Rabbi Mordechai Breuer. Well, you know, he was the great expert in Chumash and variant readings, and he published Mosad Rav Kook and his Tanakh. So at times I would bother him. Mordechai, you found here four variant readings, fine. And you've published it, you've made footnotes. So I ask him, tell me, what's going to be? Which Torah do we read? The answer, and he published an article on this in Dayot, was very simple. Scholarship is scholarship. When I read the Torah, I have to read the Torah my parents gave me, my Rebbeim gave me. This is the Torah as far as we are concerned. Critical analysis, scientific Jewish scholarship, Wissenschaft des Judentum, Chachmat Yisrael, what Bernard Revel is about, that's fine, that's wonderful. But it doesn't interfere with the halacha l'maisa, what we do yom yom. This is the Torah we receive from our parents. This is the Torah passed on to us by our teachers. This is the Torah that some of you know, I have very little interest in Jewish philosophy. So people ask me why I have interest in Shas, and Pesachim, Halacha, Dashanet, I'm a Talmud of the Rav, but the philosophy, I pass it very simple. My life changed because in seventh grade, I had teachers who didn't speak a word of English and I didn't speak a word of Yiddish. And I had the survivors of Shanghai. I saw living Torah before my eyes. If you saw the Shanghai survivors, if you saw the Talmud of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, you didn't need Jewish philosophy to tell you Moshe Emet v'Torato Emet Abba. Wow, you don't need Jewish philosophy. But halacha lemaisa, zelechud v'zelechud. They complement each other, fine. Beautiful, but Torah is given to humans, and humans have to function within a human context. Emet me eretz tipsmach, and this is a beautiful message from the Tzaita Chayshin, from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, from Mori Rebbe, Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, and we have to work within this human context, and these are the implications. I'll end off this part of the lecture, then I just want to say more different Torah to conclude, but tell a story. Unfortunately, at my age already, there's certain events that I witnessed that there are very few people who can back me up and say, Emet v'yamuna, what the Rebbe is saying. So let me tell you a little story about Bernard Revel. It has to go back to the early 50s. There was a survivor, tells Reb Simcha Meir Goldblum. I hope some of you recall the name, Rabbi Dr. Simcha Meir Goldblum. Survived in the forest, survived with the partisans, made it to America, studied with the Rav. The Rav loved him. And Simcha Meir, terrific Talmud Chacham, fabulous mind, didn't lose any of his knowledge in the Holocaust. And I heard stories from people who survived. They said to me, we said to each other, Min daf noch gein Simcha Meir. We have to follow Simcha Meir. He will survive. And we have to do what he is telling us, what he is leading us. So they went into the forest with him and they survived. And the Rav loved him. And then one time in class, I remember after class, we were showing the Rav an article he just published, Simcha Meir. And the Rav said, oh, yeah, Chav Meira, as Professor Weiss, had gegamvet mein Simcha Meir from me. I'm afraid that Professor Avraham Weiss has robbed my Simcha Meir from me. I see one person listening understand, Saul Mednick. I see that you understand what I'm talking about. You have the background. But others just heard, they don't know who Professor Feldblum is, they don't know who Professor Weiss is, was meint das geganvet? Very simple. Reb Simcha Meir was the Talmud of the Rav. The Rav was brisk, was Reb Chaim, was Shas, Paiskin, Arambam, Arivet. Oh, wait, the Rav. Professor Avraham Weiss, who knew Kollel, he knew Shas backwards and forwards by heart. He was the epitome of scientific Jewish scholarship. He published many volumes on the Gemara, recreating the Gemara chronologically with a whole new order. He was perhaps one of the most famous professors at Bernard Rebbe Graduate School. And Reb Simcha Meir, got his smicha, taught in the yeshiva. I actually succeeded him. I took over his class in Reitz in 62. He already was totally in the world of scientific Jewish scholarship, went on to teach at Bernard Revel, then at Bar-Ilan University. And the Rav was upset because he got involved now in high-level scientific scholarship, Mish the Brisket Terah. So Simcha Meir published an article, I can't go into all the details, you can look it up, it was on Gittin, that Eide Mesira Kate, Eide Chatima Kate, what creates a get? So some of the Rosh Yeshiva's, his colleagues of yesterday, were upset with him. So I remember I was a kid, I heard the conversation. They said, you're going against most Rishonim. So he told them, look, he said, I have a few Rishonim in my side. But he said, I'm not paskening halacha. The scientific research is one thing, and psak halacha is another. When it comes to psak, I only paskin according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Mahalach that went through the generations. When it comes to research, I have my research. I have a right to explore and to propose theories and try to back it up scholarly. So that is a fallout. We have to differentiate ultimate truth. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam has. We who walk upon earth, emet me eretz titzmach, we have to do the best we can in accordance with human understanding, with the framework of Torah, the framework of human existence, driving structure. And to me, it's a fabulous letter from the Chazon Ish. I spoke about this with Rav Mordechai Breuer, and the little anecdote with Rav Meir Simcha, I believe, captures this feeling. When his old colleagues were arguing with him, he said, I'm not paskening halacha, but in research, I can follow and try to show that the miut were correct against the rove, but that doesn't affect the halacha. And again, you're haunted by that one thought that we have all the manuscripts, all the kitvei yad. There's Hashkacha Pratit involved. I spoke about this in much more length in the Kollel. And this is the Torah our parents have given us. This is the Torah I personally received from the survivors via Shanghai. And this is the Torah, Baruch Hashem, with all that we're able to do, Al Admat HaKodesh. And we played a role. We did accomplish the Americans who came. I was the pioneer. Others followed me. We change chinuch to a certain degree, but kezera eva kadesh, if I can quote the Rav, we didn't change the heart, we didn't change the yesod, we simply changed the outward appearance. The Rav used to say, and it's in his hesped, I believe, on the Talmud Rebbetzin, that the challenge today, Yiddishkeit is like an elderly person. I use the example of a woman, and we have to know how to take this elderly person, this elderly woman, this matriarch, and we have to dress her in the clothes of modernity. And this is the challenge, in Baruch Hashem, to a certain degree, we have succeeded. We are humans. Emet me eretz titzmach. And let me end off a few Gemaras. Very fascinating Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samach Chet Amid Bet. It's also, some of this is in Masechet Beitza. And you'll see it in the Halacha. tell me, on Yontif, some of you are wonderful frum people. So comes Pesach, comes Sukkot. You just want to sit and learn. Spend the whole day davening, learning. All right, you'll make a quick kiddush and chop a quick chveis and an Elal airline lunch, 1, 2, 3, package. They gave it out. I understand they're giving out food in America. People told me Lawrence, elsewhere. Klat kosher, beautiful. Here in Israel, we're almost back to normal. We're in a different world here. So, Baruch Hashem, I don't want to talk aloud. Bal Tiftach, Baruch Hashem. So, are you allowed to do that? I want to sit and learn. Yom Tov is 12 hours. I'll have by day 10 and a half. I'm learning. A little bit, yes. That's the whole machloket, where the yontif is, you could make it entirely Lashem. It could even be you can sit and learn and not eat and not make kiddush and just learn and daven kula Lashem or kula lachem. But shvuat, the Gemara says, no two ways about it. Hakol modim b'atzeret ba'inu nami lachem. Everyone agrees that on Shavuot, you have to celebrate. You have to enjoy life. You can't just eat an El Al meal, catered, put together, frozen, semi-tasteless. Yontif, oh boy, you got to work. I see my daughters, what they prepare. It's a new world today. Even my sons-in-law pitch in, my grandsons, my granddaughters-in-law. Wow. Shavuos, so where's my timer? Yom shenipa bo Torah hu. Because on Shavuos, the Torah was given. And if the Torah was given, it's we who observe it, who live it, who teach it, who innovate thought within, who are machadesh, it's our holiday. Ermet me eretz titzmach. This holiday is down here with us. You can't do it all davening and learning. And the Gemara goes on, Rav Yosef, b'yomer etzetom, adele egla talatata, make me a beautiful steak from an animal. What it means, 3 years old or a third-born animal, you'll see a whole machlekes rishonim, what it actually means. But wow, he went for the beef, top meat, class. This is not an El Al meal for the peasants, and that is Shavuot. And let me end off paying homage to... I'll end off with two thoughts. Let me end off, first of all, paying homage to my last living Rebbe, who unfortunately passed away about a year and a half ago, Rabbi Yosef Weiss. Rabbi Yosef Weiss was my Rebbe, second Rebbe in high school. He was a wonderful Rebbe. Going back now, had Rav Katz 2 years, so this has to be 53, I would say. And he said a vart, I believe it was in the name of his wife's great-grandfather, Reb Shumshril Fol Hirsch. And he look up the Gemara in Shabbos, the Sugya begins on Daf Pei Vav Amid Bet, and you'll see from the Gemara that Chazal didn't know when Shavuot was, a whole machloket, whether it's the 6th of Sivan, the 7th of Sivan. Did Moshe Rabbeinu add one more day of separation to the 3 days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, a whole machloket? So Rav Hirsch asked a very simple question. Something so important, Matan Torah, the basis of our existence, the basis of human existence. It civilized the world. This is one of the reasons there's so much anti-Semitism. Who wants to be civilized? Who needs Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach? and something so important, so basic, so earth-shaking, so dramatic, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't tell us when the Chag is. Machlokes in the Gemara. Rav Hir said, because the heart of Torah is the human element. Without that human being, without that Emet Me Eretz Titzmach, there would be no Torah today. It could never be passed on. It could have never survived. God purposely didn't want to tell us when Shavuot it is. You, Chachamim, who pass on the Torah, you decide, and your decision will be mine. Eila Moedin Hashem, the Mishnah that I quoted earlier. Powerful, powerful Gemara. And finally, Mori Rebbe, I can't see his picture, it's hanging right in front of me here in my office. Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav said a beautiful vart. You know, the Rav felt that Minhag Yisrael has many basic messages for us. And you have to understand what Minhag Yisrael is about. And he says, look at our minhag. We always lay in Vamidbar before Shavuot. Sometimes Nasa. It's not that common, but sometimes you have. But always Vamidbar. It's like Minhag Yisrael was makpid that you must go into Shavuot with Vamidbar behind you. Why? Why is Vamidbar so important? And Mori Rebbe said, look what Vamidbar is about. The census. Every last Jew is counted. And you know what that is telling us? A Jew, a kid, and I've taught on all levels. I started teaching Torah in 59, Talmud Torah in Englewood, Avat Torah. That's elementary. Then I taught in YU Reeds. I was at Rosh Hashiva, it was called then in Reeds. But in reality, these were kids of high school age. Then in Israel, 69, BMT, the school that changed Anglo-Torah history. I started teaching on a collegiate level in 78, I believe it was. I started teaching on a postgraduate level. And now I just teach myself. And Baruch Hashem, I have a few people who want to learn with me. Some have been learning with me 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. Some of them are world famous in their fields. But, you know, you start teaching high school kids, college kids. Who can observe all this? Who can do all this? Who can learn so much? Who can apply it so neatly? Who can continue the saga of the Jewish people? Who can live in Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael, I'm Yisrael, I'll be Torah Yisrael. It's an overwhelming challenge and thought. And Minhag Yisrael is telling us every last Jew has that ability. Everyone counts. Vamidbar. Every last Jew, one by one by one by one, you count. You have that innate ability. The angel taught you Kol HaTorah Kula when you were in your mother's womb. It's there. The challenge is to bring it to life, to climb that mountain on Shavuot and to receive the Torah with joy, happiness, Nasevenishma. Ashabach Abonu Mikol Hamim. God chose us. Benatan Lano et Torato. That first bracha is the role of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the second bracha is our role, charge, commitment, challenge. Asher natan lanu Torat Emet, Mori Rebbe used to say, you can't say in the first bracha Torat Emet. You can only say Torat Emet after you learn Torah. You learn Torah? Ah, then you start to understand what a heritage, what a life, what a Torah emet. V'chaye olam nata b'tochenu. And we humans who walk the earth, we create an everlasting Jewish people, an everlasting salute to the Ribbono Shel Olam and acknowledgement of his existence, his guidance, his Torah. So Be'ezrat Hashem, I want to thank everyone for listening. I see my student Debbie Rosenzweig staring at me. I see Mark Licht, Afri Dalfin, I recognize some of the names. Let me joke around a little. Listen, this Monday I'll be sitting opposite a computer, and I have then Sunday, Monday, till the year is over. Not that I'm happy the year is over, but we got to move on, and we'll pick up just where we left off at the end of August. Well, I have one student who I guess I inspired a little bit, and he and his wife came in Aliyah quite a few years ago. And he called to see how we're doing, because at my age, I'm, to use modern Hebrew, Gil Sikun. They have new words now that I never heard before. All right, the Rebbe, how are you? I said to him, David, it's David Gleish I'm talking about. Those of you from the Bronx where I first met him, and then Kew Gardens Hills, and then Chicago, and now Yerushalayim, Cleveland, Chicago. It's been all over. I said, David, if you would have told me in the mid-60s, Rebbe, there's going to come a day when you're going to lecture to a screen, I would have had you committed. Your mind is gone. And take a look. In the year 2020, I'm sitting here talking to a screen. I also have to tell you, I'm a big amoritz to the screen, the shmin, what's going on. Sitting next to me, I'm trying, he's moving away, he's afraid I might touch him, and the corona bug is overwhelmed by it, is Yomo. So those of you who know Yosef Mordechai Gachman, please give him a yashar koach in enabling the Rebbe to give this talk. Chag Sameach. For us, it's a full Shabbat. For you, it's a Shabbat mixed with Shavuot. And we disappear on one Pasha for many weeks to come. We're going to be lading Nasar, and you got to catch up along the way. And in catching up, please remember, YU has an active branch, alive, kicking, teaching, perpetuating Torah Hashem Tamima Alat Mata Kodesh. Vic, Boker Tov to you. Thank you very much. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rakefet, and thank you to all of you who joined us.